So good, so excellent to hear how Jesus transforms lives. That was just such an uplifting turn around and come home story. And to hear Jesus did not give up. Fantastic. We've just been focusing on Jesus the last number of weeks, talking about Jesus posing questions, Jesus pressing into lives with questions that he's asked. We've heard answers to some questions today. We're going to touch on a couple of questions that Jesus asked this morning. First one, John chapter 11. Jesus, in this account, is speaking to his friends, Martha and Mary. They've just lost their brother, Lazarus. Jesus talked to Martha and Mary about the resurrection. And he said an oft-quoted passage in John 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." But then Jesus asked a question to Martha. Straightforward. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, what do you believe? Do you believe this? What we believe is important. That's why these in the front row, these students took time to learn and to grow, to really take time to absorb what it is they believe. What we believe is important. And we encourage in our class just a memorization of just a succinct statement of our Christian faith. It's contained in what we call the Apostles' Creed. I know many of you know it because you have done exactly what this group of people has done, and you have committed that to memory. It's a great declaration of our faith, and it speaks of our commitment. It speaks of our commitment to our faith. How do we end that? We end it with the word amen. Amen is, it's from the Greek, simply means true, truly. This is what we assert. What we are saying is true. And that makes it not only just a statement of our faith, but an acknowledgement that, yes, we are saying this is true. It's a kind of an exclamation point at the end when we say amen. So let's recite this creed together. Let's join our class and recite this creed, a statement of our faith. What do we believe? And come on, I know so many of you know it. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let's say it together. Amen. Amen. This is true. This is true. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Is it really, does that come from your heart? And you say, yes, I believe. Because that was the question posed by Jesus. Do you believe? And that's a good question just to meditate on often. What do you believe, and do you truly, truly believe it? Do you live it? I want to consider another question asked by Jesus. We're going to take a little more time with this question. It was an event where Jesus was interacting with one of his closest followers, Peter. And this is an occasion after the resurrection. We just talked of Jesus was crucified, died, he was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And this event that we're going to look at is an event in the time of the 40 days where Jesus was appearing to his faithful followers, and he appeared to Peter and his friends. And Peter was an outspoken follower of Jesus. He was at time completely tactless. He was blundering. He was impetuous, but he was zealous. He really was, and he was sincere. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, outspoken Peter pledged his allegiance to Jesus in a very forceful way. He said, "Jesus, I will never fall away from you, even if I have to die. Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." Well, then Jesus was arrested. His followers all scattered. As Jesus was led to his first hearing was at the high priest's residence. Well, Peter followed from a distance. He arrived. He stayed in the courtyard of the high priest, and someone asked him, "Weren't you with that Jesus?" Well, Peter denied knowing Jesus. He said, "No, I wasn't." He was asked a second time, and Peter denied now with an oath, kind of like we say, "I swear to God, I did not know him." And then a third time, Peter's pressed, "You were with him." And this third time now, Peter calls down curses, and he swore again, "I did not know this man." Now, when Peter realized what he had done, he went away. He wept bitter tears. And John's gospel now describes a scene a few weeks later. As I said, Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried. He rose again. Peter had seen the empty tomb. Jesus had appeared to his disciples. And that awful evening where Peter had disowned Jesus, and he had done it with just a vehemence and so aggressively, that must have just seemed a lifetime ago. Man, things have turned around. The disciples had initially gone into hiding after Jesus was crucified, and they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. But that changed when Jesus appeared to them. Now they're living out in the open. Weeks have passed. John's gospel tells us that Peter and his companions, they're out by the lake. They've gone fishing. They went out for a night of fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and it was a bad night, fruitless night. Their nets were empty. They didn't catch a thing. Now, early in the morning, as they are returning to the beach, they saw an image on the shore. The man on the shore shouted out to the boat, "Do you have any fish?" "No," they replied back. Well, this figure on the shore hollers back, "Cast your nets onto the right side of the boat." Well, they did that, and they hauled in a great catch. Their nets were stuffed. Then at that moment, they recognized Jesus, because this had happened when he had first called Peter and John. Peter was so excited, he jumped in the water. The others towed in this big net of fish, and they all arrived on shore. They see Jesus. He's got a fire going. He's cooking fish and bread, and he says these really nice words, "Come on, let's have some breakfast." It's just a beautiful scene. And now let's pick it up from there. We've got some background. Let's pick it up from there. These guys, they're coming for breakfast. And John chapter 21 describes this. And I want to read verses 15 to 19. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.' Very truly," that's the word amen, "'very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This little passage of scripture, many call it the restoration of Peter, because in it we see this. We see Jesus reaffirming Peter. He's instructing him not as a lost soul necessarily, but receiving Peter, receiving him back, and receiving him as one who has sincerely repented. He's instructing Peter as a leader. He's saying, "Hey, feed my sheep." He's referring to him really as a shepherd. And he commissions him, "Hey, go on out, feed the sheep." And three times, though, Jesus posed this same question, "Do you love me?" That's the question I want to focus on this morning. It's often pointed out that Jesus inquired of Peter three times because Peter had denied him three times. And it might seem harsh. Peter thought so. He was hurt. Three times, "Come on, Lord." But there's the parallel. There's the parallel so that we see it and we get it. That Peter had denied Jesus three times and really he was getting forceful, calling down curses. But three times Jesus posed this question, "Do you love me?" And it was through this questioning, through this series of questioning, that we see this. We see that Jesus commissions Peter and he renews his calling and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." That's not the first time Jesus had said, "Follow me." So we see this renewal. Jesus expressed to Peter, "You're forgiven. You're restored." And this passage, it just presents to us a beautiful image of the heart of Jesus. It shows us that in Peter's bitter tears, they weren't crocodile tears of regret. No, Peter wept genuine tears of repentance. And that repentance was received by Jesus. And we can learn from Peter's experience and apply to our own lives this question. Do you love me? Now today we are celebrating the sincerity of every single one here in this front row. They've expressed a commitment to Jesus. They've dedicated themselves to learning more. That they want to apply his word in their life. They want to apply what they've learned on a daily basis. They're here today for us to pray over them a prayer to confirm their faith and to strengthen their faith in Jesus. And that all expresses an affirmative answer to the question, "Do you love me?" Now they're saying, "Yes, yes, we love you. We love you, Jesus." And we've heard from some in this class today that this expression of yes in practical terms. Eric said, "I've come back. I have come back this time for good." And that was so great to hear and see him. "Yes, I am committed." And he is striving. He said, "I'm striving to get more. And to stay close." Lucas talked about this greater gratitude for the resurrection, a greater application in his life for the sacrifice that Jesus made. He said his grace is bigger than a mind can comprehend. That's true. That's our Jesus. And Jesus bestows forgiveness. He removes sins. How did Lucas say? From as far as the east is from the west. You can't get more than that. And that acknowledgement says, "Yes, I love you." Sydney said, "You know, there's always something more to learn about Jesus." That's beautiful. And that has given her this desire to continue to grow and to learn and get closer to Jesus. "Yes, I love you. I want to get closer to you." You know, Matthew, like he's like, "I'm welcomed back. I am welcomed back to the Lord with open arms." That's exactly what Jesus was doing to Peter. He's welcoming back, welcoming back. Do you love me? Come on back. Come on. And we joined together with this class this morning, and we acknowledged this. We acknowledged, yes, we love you. In some of the songs we were singing, I was lost, but he welcomed me. His grace runs deep. Were you singing that this morning? He is high and exalted, worthy of praise. With my heart, I will love. I will love and adore. We're saying together, yes, I love you. And when we recited the Apostles' Creed together, it's a way to say, Jesus, we love you. We end with this, amen. Yeah, this is what we believe, and it's in our heart. But this experience of Peter, it gives us an illustration that even sometimes when we're those who have confessed with such sincerity that we believe and we have pledged our allegiance to follow Jesus, even expressing we're going to be unwavering, we have this unwavering commitment to Jesus, there may be times where the strength of that commitment is tested. And at times, you know, the strength of that commitment might falter. It might even fail. We might be in a place like Peter and deny our Savior. And I want to consider this experience of Peter to just help us to be equipped to stay strong, to remain firm, even when that temptation to deny Christ comes. Because those times do come. They come in all of our lives. And how can we learn from Peter's experience? First, think about what caused Peter, what caused him to turn away from Jesus. You know, Peter's denial is one of the unique accounts in the New Testament. It's in every single one of the Gospels. It's in all four Gospels, his denial. Man, that's sort of like infamy. If I were Peter, I'd be like, you really got to put it in all four of them? Really? All four Gospels account give the account that he denied Jesus. But what provoked him to disavow Jesus? Well, we don't know. It doesn't really tell us. The Gospels don't tell us, well, Peter, this is what motivated him to turn against Jesus. But when we read the accounts, I think we can just safely arrive at this conclusion. He was terrified. He was fearful. Jesus was being harshly questioned in the high priest's residence. His interrogators had him bound. They were hitting him. They were slapping him. They were spitting on him. They were mocking him. Peter, he was at a distance, but he's taken all of this in. And we can imagine that he was afraid to admit he was a follower of Jesus. Hey, you were with him. No way, I was not. Why? Because he doesn't want to get arrested and beaten up. Have you ever been afraid to admit you're a follower of Jesus? Has that ever happened at school, at work? Maybe you're in a new circle of friends. You know, if you talk about being a follower of Jesus, it's going to bring some ridicule. You're one of those intolerant Christians, really? Kind of judgmental, do-gooder. You might be excluded. You might be ostracized. There's this fear of not being accepted, a fear of rejection. That can happen. And what then occurs? Jesus is denied. I'm not going to talk about him. And there are other ways to deny Jesus. It's not just through this fear. There's daily temptations to satisfy our own selves. And Sydney said something that might apply to this. She said, you know, the Lord protects us. He wants to protect us from satisfying the flesh so that you don't turn away from Jesus, but that you instead turn to him. You turn to Jesus because you might turn away. Yes, it's possible to turn away, to deny him. And sometimes we can justify it. We justify it. We rationalize it. Well, it was just a little thing. What was I doing? What was I doing to satisfy me? Well, I was cheating on something, cheating at school, cheating at work. I was cutting a corner, telling a little lie. What's the big deal? Breaking a law here or there. So what? I'm doing things in secret, doing things nobody knows about. cruising the internet, going to places shouldn't go. Well, it's just to satisfy an urge. Not a big deal. We rationalize it. We defend it. But it denies Jesus. It diminishes the sacrifice that he made to set us free from sin. All those little things that we rationalize sometimes too, they can lead to bigger things. They often do. Lies turn into elaborate fictions. A secret lunch? Becomes a full-on affair. A little recreation from time to time. Well, it's just once in a while. Got to take the edge off. Well, that can turn to a constant self-medicating addiction, be it with drugs, alcohol, food, gambling, video gaming. That can be a huge addiction. Just take away the pain, hours online, people get lost in these virtual worlds. They go to places, and really terrible places online, and just it becomes a time sink. And it's all in an effort to alleviate pain, to find some peace and rest, chasing our own definition of satisfaction. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest." He is the Prince of Peace. He offers pain relief from the burdens. He offers rest and peace to all. And he continues to do that. He continues to do that even to those who, like Peter, broke their allegiance, broke their commitment. In a moment of fear and panic, Peter's faith collapsed, and he turned his back on Jesus. And if that ever happens, as in some of the examples that I posed, whether it's out of fear, whether it's out of just like, hey, I got to satisfy myself, I got to medicate myself, I got to find my own peace, I got to alleviate my own pain, do what Peter did. Turn again to Jesus. Turn again just like he did. His sorrow wasn't hollow. It wasn't insincere. His repentance was authentic. It reminds me of David in Psalm 51 who wrote, "My sin, God, it's ever before you, but you're my God of unfailing love. Create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit in me." This was Peter's heart. This was what he was pouring out in his bitter tears. And he had disappointed himself for sure. He had certainly, you know, I'm sure he felt he disappointed Jesus, but he was sincerely sorry. And Jesus responded to that genuine sorrow of Peter. Jesus forgave him. He's like, "Welcome back. Come on." He renewed his mission. He renewed his calling. He says, "Feed my sheep. Follow me." That's what he said. Follow me. Come on back. If we ever turn, if we ever deny Jesus, and it can be devastating, but Jesus is there, this God of mercy and grace, waiting to forgive, waiting to restore, and waiting for any to return with sincerity to just say, "Yeah, Lord, I'm here to follow you." You know, that is the amazing love of our Savior. But let's also learn some things from Peter. Let's also learn some things that we might do to keep our commitment so that we don't get into that place of faltering faith, to that place of denying Jesus. And how might we do that? Imagine right now, Jesus asking you, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Put that question before yourself every day. Jesus saying, "Do you love me?" I've got ways. I just want to share a few ways that we can answer that. Do you love me? It's not an exhaustive list. You might be able to add more that just would work for you. But if we put that before us, "Do you love me?" can change. It can change the way we respond to many things. So Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Answer in your priorities. But Jesus' question, it challenges us to reflect on our priorities. In daily life, we're often pulled in many directions. We have distractions, temptations, responsibilities, desires, and these things can lead to us turning away from Jesus, just like the examples that I mentioned. An answer of yes, Jesus, I love you, it'll prompt us to examine whether our actions truly prioritize our professed faith in Jesus above the daily distractions, the daily temptations that attempt to pull us away. Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Answer with commitment. Answer by your commitment to faith. And we've made that commitment. But just as Peter's denial was a profound moment of testing and fear, where the result was a collapsing of his commitment, we too face challenges and we face temptations that test our faith. And again, you know, I've mentioned some of those examples, but think about when that first person confronted Peter, you were with him. If he had just imagined for that moment, Jesus standing right there saying, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" How that might have just changed the landscape of the whole event. When our faith faces a challenge or a temptation, before we, whatever it is, go off to the secret place or respond or tell a little lie, just imagine Jesus standing there, "Do you love me?" And then reaffirm your commitment to remain strong and faithful and follow him. Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Answer with your actions. Love is not just a sentiment. We've been talking about love on Wednesdays for a number of weeks. Love's not a sentiment. It's not just a feeling. It's demonstrated through action. And in daily life, we can apply this question of Jesus by considering how our love for him is reflected in our actions. How do we interact with others, with our spouses, with our families, our neighbors, our coworkers? And I know I fall short so many times. And so are we, you know, we put this question in front of us. Do you love me? Are we reflecting the heart of Jesus? Do we model how he interacted with others? Are we putting it into practice, the prayer that he taught us? Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive others. Ultimately asking this question, do you love me? In this context of Jesus' question to Peter, it challenges us to live lives of faithfulness and selflessness that's rooted in our love for Christ. It's a call to us. It's a call to continually align our thoughts, our words, our actions, priorities with the example of Jesus. Let's do our best to live answering this question, do you love me? We're going to pray for this class now, and we're going to pray that their faith that's expressed this morning, strong and committed, just remains that way. We're going to pray a prayer of confirmation. We're going to pray that their answer every day is, yes, yes, I love you, Jesus. So I'm going to invite our class to the altars right now and begin with Lisa Albrecht. Lisa. And we're going to pray for Roger Albrecht, Eric Crosby, Kristen Jones, Eddie Masterson, Matt McCullough, Linda Rapsky, Lucas Swartz, Sydney Swartz, and Sarah Zelias. We're gonna pray for all of these. I wanna invite our elders and ministers to the altar. I wanna invite you all to stand with me too as we pray. And I want you to pray with us. Pray not, let's pray for this class to be just strengthened in their faith, rooted, securely established. And you know, if you know someone who might be in that place where Jesus is saying, do you love me? And they need to respond like, yes, and they need to return, pray for them too. Pray for them too. Class, I invite you to kneel as we pray. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to do his good work. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do invite your precious Holy Spirit right now to rest upon each one of these who's having hands laid on them by an elder, Lord, that their faith would be confirmed and rooted deeply and established. Father God, may they be strong. May they be strong in you, answering every day, yes, I love you, Jesus. May Jesus be the rock beneath their feet. May he be their refuge and their strength. May they be lights. God, I pray that they would be as Peter, feeding others. Lord, use what you have placed in them to help and to bless others. May they be lights in their communities, in their families, to whomever they cross paths with. God, we ask that good grace. We ask for your abundant loving kindness to make it so. God, plant them. May they be like trees by the river of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Thank you, God. May their strength in you be evident. God, you've begun a good work in them, and we are so appreciative of that. Continue it, Lord. Your word says you continue it to the day of Jesus Christ. And we pray over this class that you would do that, that your Holy Spirit would just rest in them, that you would empower them, that you would equip them every single day, every single moment. God, that they would be yours. God, your word says that those that are yours, who can snatch them from your hand? I pray, Lord, that they are held tight in your hand. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Thank you for bringing them here. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit doing this work right now. We commit them unto you, Father, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we look forward, God. We look forward to the future with each of these, God, and all that they're going to do for you and your kingdom. Father, we ask it all in the precious, the holy name of the one that we say we love, Jesus. Amen.